Thanks, everyone. How are we all doing? Here we go. Yeah, claps. My name's Chris. Obviously, I'm playing Cyclops today, for those not in the know. And this is my second EC2E2, my umpteenth panel, and I cosplay. I can't sew, but I could buy them, and this is where this panel's now. To my left is Meryl.
Hi, guys. I'm Meryl. I own my own commission business called Exerta Designs. I've been costuming for about 3 years now, and this is my second C2E2 as well.
My name is Lindsay. Hi. This is my second C2E2 as well. I do a mixture of both hiring people to do commissions for me, and I do my own sewing as well. I'm also pretty big in the wig area and doing my own props, and I also do commissions on makeup, like I do people's makeup at the con. So.
Awesome. So, as introductions, we're going to ask keep all questions at the end of the panel. We're just going to set the last 10 minutes of questions so we get through this, and yeah. So, let's start. Like I said, cosplay is a big thing, and people are getting into it. I've been doing it for about 10 plus years now because I am old. And yeah, I can't sew. My first costume was pins and needles and fur. And luckily, I started dating a girl who can sew, and we're married now. So, anything I want, I just ask her. But that stopped when we got married. Like, no, either pay me or make your own stuff. It's like, make your own stuff. It counts terrible. And I do about 40, 50 hours of work per week. So I'm like, okay, so what do? Commissioning, which you brought Marilyn. And figured out the commission.
Yeah. Are you going to make me talk first?
We'll go back and forth.
Yeah. I do a mixture of both commissions and sewing. I can sew. I'm not the best sewer in the world, but I can wing it pretty well on quite a few of my costumes. But and like Chris says, I work 40 hours a week. And I think that's one of the things that people really need to understand is that you, even if you have the skill, it's a huge time commitment. And you got to be able to have the time for it. I make some of my costumes and I have other ones commissions that I actually have the capability to wear more than one costume a year. And coming at it from the get-go, I just want to say that like there's no problem with you commissioning your costumes. Like I know with some things going on in the cosplay community today, like sometimes people look down on people who commission costumes and don't make their own costumes and don't listen to them. It's all about having fun, and if you're having fun, it doesn't matter if you made it with pins and needles and with Velcro and you're duct taped into your costume. If you're having fun, like, who cares? Like, don't let other people ruin your fun time. And if you want to commission it and you have the money and the capability, go ahead and do it. Like, if you don't have the time, even if you have the skill, go ahead. And if you have the time and the skill to make it, or you want to learn, take classes and learn. But everyone has to start somewhere with cosplay. And I think it's a really good thing that more people are getting into it. And I just want to make sure everybody realizes that it's a very inclusive hobby. I mean, I started when I was in the high school, and all my costumes were like pieced together in a mess. But I had a blast with it, and I didn't care. And you get better as you go along, and you learn to sew if you want to learn to sew, or you start small and get big. Some people may think that they should start with really big projects. Don't.
No.
I will tell my wonderful Iron Man story. So I work with a lot of wood and foam and things like that to make props, and I decided I wanted to make an Iron Man, like full Iron Man armor. I didn't do a lot of research. Another thing is do your research. Because people make it out of paper and foam. And there's some really awesome foam and paper Iron Man suits you'll see out. Like, there's a guy here who has an awesome one, and I'm pretty sure it's made of foam. I haven't gotten a close look at it. And it's light when you do that. And they have all these things online where you can do, you literally print out the armor, and then you just fold it and like paper mache it and cover it in resin. It's really easy, and it's a lot easier than it looks. I made mine with full resin. I spent a year and a half on it, and about $1,500 on it. I threw all of it away, because it looked like a mess. And it was one of those things that I thought, I genuinely was going way beyond my capabilities, running before I could walk, jumping into a giant shark-infested tank without knowing how to swim, and bleeding profusely. It was really bad, and that's probably the worst horror story I've ever had, but it taught me my limitations, and I think that's something everybody's going to fail at one point during their cosplay, and it's better to fail and learn your lesson than, everybody's going to have that at some point, even if you think you're really, really good, but don't let it discourage you. I'm not probably going to ever make an Iron Man armor, but I'm working on helping some friends do some Halo armor with the paper, and so it's just, I'm learning. And I think you never stop learning when you do this, even if you've been doing it as long as some of us have. Yes, I'm going to make you talk, because you actually do really good costumes. Look at that.
Well, definitely, like she said, never, ever, like, feel bad about commissioning something. And I know I own my own business, and I'm saying that, but honestly, like, it helps support other people. You get awesome work out of it. People love it. I mean, there's nothing wrong if you can't do it yourself. And there's also, you know, especially with Chicago right now, a huge cosplay community of a lot of people that are very helpful. I know if anyone's ever heard of Cosplay Chicago, they're a big group of people that have been trying to gather more people together just to have a community of artists. And we all work together, we teach each other things, we learn how to sew. Like, there's so much room to grow and everything too. So even if you commission something, there's nothing to say that you can't eventually do it yourself, which I think is important.
Yeah. And I mean, use your friends.
Yes.
If your friends have stuff, get them to help you. When I was first learning and I didn't know how to sew, I couldn't even sew a skirt. I was like working on it by myself, like following the patterns in turn. I mean, Joann's has lots of patterns, and it may not be the exact thing you want, but you can modify things pretty easily. But I mean, I had my friends basically holding my hand the entire time. Like, and you need it sometimes. It's not that easy.
It's not.
But I mean, you learn and you get better about it.
Yep.
Never be afraid to ask questions. I mean, the internet's an amazing thing. I mean, go on Facebook, find a Facebook group. Even if you're sewing, just, you know, ask, hey, what kind of stitch do I need, or something like that. Like, don't be afraid to ask questions, and if people are rude and jerks to you, like, just go talk to somebody else.
Yeah, there are so many nice people in the community, despite all the stuff going on.
Yeah.
So many helpful people.
Yeah. Also, like I said, research. If you want to go to the commission group, research your commissioners. Like, I've known Meryl for about a year now, and I asked them, about a month and a half of Cyclops?
Yeah.
Like mid-March, because the person originally said it was going to do for me, flaked out, and didn't bother telling me she couldn't do it, like, last March. I'm like, well, that's awesome. I asked Meryl, she gave me awesome, like, list of stuff she needs from me, and, like, she banged this out, and I got it 2 days ago. I'm like, this is great, it's so comfy. I had a horror story last year near Comic-Con. I needed a prop.
My horror story goes with yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I asked around to go to costume group, like, hey, guys, I need a Red Hood helmet. And like, I want to take commissions, and someone pointed me out in a way, and they're like, oh, yeah, this person X is taking a few commissions. I'm like, oh, cool, Lindsay, you're doing something else. Why don't we get on this? So we email this person. It was a really low estimate. I'm like, oh, that sounds pretty good. I never figured it was a friend discount or anything. And I've seen his work before. It looked really good. It's really top-notch stuff. And then, it's like a month before New York Comic Con, nothing. 2 weeks before New York Comic Con, fire an email. 2 days, like, oh, yeah, dude, don't worry. It's, you know, just a little behind schedule. You'll get it on time. Literally that Wednesday, you get a box. Got to talk to the guy. He's like, I'll send you Lindsay's costume, too. And the helmet is twice the size of my head. Like, you know, those little, like, bobblehead figures that sell in the dealer's room? Like, the little body, the huge head. It's like that. And Lindsay's, you go and tell that.
Oh, mine was, as a precursor, I did get my money back, and he had no problem giving me my money back for what I got. That may not always occur, but because he's, you know, local, no, that won't always occur.
That almost never occurs.
Yeah, but I think he genuinely felt bad about it. I was doing an Emma Frost, and I gave him all my measurements, and so the pants fit around my waist. So you would think that the belt would fit around my waist. But the belt was way too small. Like, it fit maybe, like, it didn't fit my waist. It could fit my, like, a neck a couple times. Like, it was, he does really good work, and I don't know, generally, I feel like he took too much on. And it's one of those things that you really need to pay attention to, like, if they're taking commissions, are they taking other commissions? You know, and things like that, and get on them. I was lucky and I got my money back, but that's definitely not always going to happen.
No.
And generally know that if you're looking for quality, you're probably going to pay for it unless it's one of your friends. A lot of the websites that you see nowadays where you can get a lot of the costumes, they're from China and they do things pretty cheap. I know, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Milano or Milanu. Okay, look,
there you go.
I know, okay. And here's my worrying about Milano. Like, obviously, some of their stuff is really low quality, but it's really cheap. And if you're just getting into costumes and you just want something cheap that you want to have fun, you know, at an anime convention or a costume convention, if you can afford it, and it's, you know, I mean, most of their costumes are pretty cheap. Like, don't feel bad about doing it, especially if that's the kind of money you have. I know that a lot of people have had horror stories with them. One of my first costumes, I commissioned from one of their, like, shadow sites. Because there's a website called Oh No Milano that lists all of their sites. They have a lot of shadow sites. I'm not quite sure why. If they're trying to get around some fraud things, I think. But I've commissioned a couple things from them, and actually, they turned out surprisingly well. And then I've heard horror stories. I've been really lucky with them. Recently, I just commissioned an outfit from them just because I wanted the material. I could get them. Paying $150 for the dress they were going to give me was cheaper than me buying the material for part of the dress, because I'm working on the blue dress from the movie Stardust, and I could not get the satin cheap enough, and I could get it from them already pre-made cheap. And I mean, sometimes you can come up with unique things on that. It looks great. It's huge, so I'm going to have to tailor it in, but it actually turned out well enough for it. It's cheaper than I could have commissioned, and it's cheaper than I could have made it myself. So it's one of those things where you genuinely have to make the decision if you're going to take the chance, if it's the money's worth it. But don't feel bad about using them, and understand that they do have some quality issues. But I've seen really good costumes come out of them, and I don't think it's a problem. Just have fun. You know, it's that fun aspect. I wouldn't say enter costume contest in it. But
can't do.
Never enter a costume contest if you didn't make the costume yourself. If it explicitly says, no, you know, you made the costume. But there are some costume contests that allow you to enter even if you have commissioned costumes. Just be honest that, you know, someone else made the costume. A lot of them don't have a problem with that as long as you're honest about it. And I think that's, just be honest.
Like you said, research is really important. I know I've found people off of Facebook and even just looked at their sites, and they all have great, great reviews, and you go and Google them, and you find they've been banned off of several prop forms because they've done terrible things to people. I mean, there are some prop commissioners, unfortunately, that are out there that will take your money, and you'll never see anything, or you'll see it, like, 2 years later.
Yeah. So
months later. I mean, I don't want to discourage people from commissioning, but you just need to really, really be careful.
Now, Meryl, do you have full upfront pay, or do you, like, do partial payments?
Basically how I work, yeah. I mean, we can kind of get into that if you want.
That
we talked about. But how I particularly work with some people in commissioning, there are several other commissioners that work this way as well. I know Peachy Kiki does. She's one of my friends. God Save the Queen runs a lot like this, too. But basically, when you email someone, one of the most important things, you really need to give me your character name, several reference photos, because let me tell you, there are 10 million versions of Batman, and you know, I mean, we all know this, and I don't know what version you want. I need you to send me what you want. I can't, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times talk to you in person. So the more reference, and even if it's two pictures and you want elements from each, and you explain that, like, it's so important. A budget is really important too, because I mean, I try to stay in people's budgets, but sometimes it's not possible. But I can work with people, and you know, we can talk about quality and materials and stuff and work things out and contact information and a deadline. And I really stress deadline, because there are people that'll tell me Halloween and it'll show up the day before and they're like, oh, my party was last weekend. You know, and it's like, I can't know that. I can't read minds. And I think it's really important for any commissioner to know, like, the date you need it basically at your doorstep, because a lot of people travel for cons, and just because you say, you know, you need it for ASIN doesn't mean that I can get it to you that day. So that's really, really important as far as that. And kind of like an idea of what goes into an estimate, obviously, like Mr. Cyclops here is what I did for him. It's just some material costs, my labor and time, and some profit, because my, you know, I need to run my machines. I run industrial machines, and they take a lot of power. And, you know, I need to maintenance them, so I need some profit in my stuff to maintenance all my things. And then I give you a quote. And basically, I work in estimates. I give you a high and low estimate and stress that sometimes things take a little bit longer than they should and it can go over. I try really hard not to go over my high estimates, but I take half of the lowest estimate up front. So if something's $500, I take $250. I want a placement in there and it's non-refundable, because I use it to purchase your materials. And at that point, I'm making your costume and spending my time and my labor to start pattern drafting, because, I mean, I do everything from scratch. I went to school for costume design. So, I mean, I pattern everything out myself, unless I really don't need to. There are certain things, like certain things I do just go and get in a normal pattern, but then that just doesn't get counted in the labor. And I mean, I do everything from scratch. So you can kind of see, I kind of broke down like an idea of like what something would cost, like what his costume would cost. So you can kind of see all the materials that I use. I try to use the highest quality spandex. I found a company that I feel it's spandexhouse.com. I feel that their stuff is the best out there right now. I've gotten samples from all over when I started commissioning because I wanted only the highest quality. I try to strive for really high quality with my work. So, I mean, you can kind of see, like, the certain things I use. And, I mean, that's not even including, like, the little things like thread and all of that. But you can kind of see, like, this alone costs about $100 for me to make in just material. And, I mean, that's a lot. You know, a lot. Some people don't spend that much even on a whole costume. So, I mean, when you do things like that. And then kind of like my labor, this whole thing was probably about 40 pattern pieces. It took me about 16 hours in total to make his whole costume. So, I mean, I do everything, you know, from pattern it, drafting, to cutting everything, to sewing it all myself. So it's a lot of work, and it's intense. And you can kind of see, like, my estimated range of and how much about I make an hour. I mean, I consider myself a professional. I went to school for it. I try to do this as a living. So I need to, you know, have enough cushion in there in case, especially during slow months, I'm not making enough money. So I kind of need to do that, all that. And you can kind of see, like, all the work I did. I mean, I made all the panel pieces were fabric I had to make myself. I had to pipe all of it and cut all the pieces out and all my pieces that I cut out.
It's not easy.
No. I mean, and this thing has a lot of it, especially on the side. But you can kind of see then what an estimate for something like that would cost. And yes, it's a lot, but when you consider all the time I put into it, it's really not that bad. And you can, that's your stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. Yeah. And like she said, she takes the deposit. I think if you're going to work with a commissioner and they're asking for everything up front, especially if it's a lot of money, if it's a cheaper costume or it's one of those websites that does like mass productions in China or something, you always usually pay up front, and that's fine. But if it's a commissioner that you're doing, like someone like Meryl, and they ask for everything up front, like, really consider talking to them about doing half, because that's usually the sign of someone that may be taking your money. Or, you know, even if they're not, and you get something that's you don't like, or you see pictures in the beginning and you don't like them, it's very difficult to get your money back at that point.
Right, and I always really try to give, like, progress photos and work with people, and there's something they don't like, redo it for them or fix it. I really try to work with my customers and make them as happy as I can, because it's important.
Yeah, especially, and same thing with props. Like, I do the same thing with props when I make props for people or I'm working with someone who's doing props. Definitely, like, progress pictures, ask for them. Don't be afraid to ask for questions. Don't be afraid. I mean, don't send an email every day, but, I mean, every week. If you're really worried about this costume and you're really concerned about it, email them, because you're paying them.
You should, because sometimes we're busy, and honestly, like, I don't have time sometimes to email my 10 customers. And I'd love to, but if you send me an email right away, I know, okay, I get back to you, I send you my pictures that I've had, you know. I try my best to answer everyone, but sometimes it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, not to rat house a bit, but Meryl, she was excellent. I emailed her, like, once just to check in on her. And she looked at her Facebook page, and she showed, like, the images in progress, looked really great, and she, like, banged, like, it was done, what, by Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, she went, she's like, oh, I'm sorry, it was done this late. I'm like, it looks amazing, I don't care, it's fantastic. Like, I'm giddy as hell, like, yay, you know, it's Cyclops. And, like, you know, it was worth it. You know, like I said, it's a little costly, but I was no problem with that. Ran my bar early, and the guys there blowing their like, oh, it's a good, awesome Cyclops. I'm like, yeah, it's totally worth money.
Right.
And, again, the commission's a great route to go down if you can afford it. Obviously, that doesn't work for everyone. I luckily make enough where I could drop a couple hundred. My wife was not pleased with that, but, you know, it's my money, so.
Yeah, and my costumes, too, like, I really strive in, like, making them wearable forever, like, fashion. Like, I want them to be something that you can wear and it's not going to fall apart in 5 minutes.
Well, actually, yeah, too, it's not. I can't. Although, I'd say, there's knee pads in this thing, and they're so, like, soft and comfortable. Look.
You have knee pads. My costume is slowly, always constantly falling apart.
No.
I mean, we worked really hard on this, but I mean, you get really good quality, like, that's not going to fall apart at all. I mean, I worked on this with a friend, and we did a good job on it, but the nature of this costume is, Yeah, it's constant state of repair.
Right. Well, and all my stuff too, I sometimes stress to people that if something does happen down the road, like a seam pops, it can happen that I will fix it and fix it for free. I mean, you pay the shipping to ship it to me and I will repair your costume. Like, I have no problem in doing any of that stuff too, which I think is important.
On the same road of commissions, there are people who do big commissions. They're a little harder to find. It's not as well advertised as...
A lot of the good ones keep dropping out.
Yeah. I do a little bit of wood commission. I usually don't have a lot of time. I'm in the midst of moving, and so and also shipping wigs after you do them is always very difficult because sometimes they fall and other things happen to the wigs in shipment, and it's not... I've had some very bad experiences where I did a lot of work on a wig and they crushed the box. So, yeah, that's happened. And it was this huge bouffant. And I actually do wig commission. I actually commission people to do wigs. There's a website called Fifi Mahoney's. And they are a wig company in New Orleans that does all the wigs for Mardi Gras. And they do a ton for drag queens. So they are really good at their wigs. And they are surprised. They are cheaper than I can. They're cheaper than my commissions, and so I can't compete with them a lot of the times, and I'll have them help me. But wig commissions is a great way to go if you don't know how to work with wigs. Wigs can be incredibly difficult to work with. Most of the wigs I've seen in here are good quality and good styled. I can't actually, they're in good shape. And especially like rock, is it Sora or Rock?
Sora.
Okay, that's one. I've seen some. That wig's very hard to style, and you did a good job on it. It looks good.
I did. Oh. I got it on the website.
Well, there you go. Well, some of the websites do a really good job with them, especially if they do a lot of them. They do a good job with it. Your whole costume's good. I mean, actually, most people's costumes in here are good. It's not... And I wanted to say, like, I was really impressed with the Rise of the Guardians group, FYI.
Yeah.
I'm working on a Tooth Fairy right now, and I actually like yours a lot better than what I'm planning. Well, because it's paint, right? You have to stand up. This is really impressive. Just because you paint, did you paint that yourself? That's
all of it. Wow. That's awesome.
You did a really good job, especially on the bodysuit for Buddy Lund, and the fact that you painted Toothiana, is that her? Okay, yeah. I actually like that. I'm planning to do full feathers. And I have a feeling that's going to be a disaster in the making. And most of the feather ones I have, that's really good. It's a good job. But don't be afraid to go your own way. Feathers are really notoriously hard to work with. I really like working with feathers for some reason. They get everywhere.
Yeah,
everywhere. I have a whole ton of it. I actually do a lot of, I make Thor helms with the feathers and everything. And I do a lot of those. And I do wings and things like that. Like, I really have a hard-on for feathers. But they're really hard to work with. They're really hard to get smooth. And doing paint job for Tooth Fairy, who's an entirely feathered character, is probably a better way to go for most people. My costume's probably going to fall apart a lot of the times because you just can't get feathers to stay, and that's going to last a lot longer than anything I attempt to do unless I hand-sew every feather, which I'm not about to do. Then that's a time-consuming thing. And so that takes less time, and it looks better than something that may fall apart. So definitely be creative with what you can do. If you can do this and not that, and it's going to produce a good look, go for it. I mean, really, like, I think cosplay is a great thing, and you can be so creative with it. It doesn't matter if it's completely accurate, as long as it conveys what the character is, and it looks, you know, and you have fun with it, and you think it looks good, like, go for it.
So it's great buying stuff. Not so much commissions, but piece of point, I like Hawkeye a whole bunch. Like, the Fraction book is fantastic. Thank you. And the minute I saw the first book we got, cosplaying all this right now. Because the artist, David Aha, is an incredible dude. And he just, every issue, like, is a different outfit. It's mostly casual. It's very down-to-earth, rocket fire, something that's been influenced. So it's all, like, stuff you just go out and buy. So, like, all right, that's what I'm going to do now with Hawkeye. So I start off with, see the bottom right-hand corner is, like, the default outfit. The shirt is Under Armour, so that's going to cost you like $35. Pants are military surface cargo. They're about $40. The gloves are like $10 at a thrift shop.
Isn't Under Armour starting to do cosplay pieces too?
Yeah, I'll get that. Yeah,
they did some Superman
ones. It's licensed stuff. Yeah, it's really cool. I'll get that in a bit.
Yeah.
Belts are $10. So roughly $100 just for the main outfit. Wig was another $25 off eBay. And the arrow was like $50 as an actual like practice compound though.
But it really shows you that you can even just buy
I think Homestuck's really shown that. Homestuck, most of the stuff you can buy except for the trolls, most of it you can buy in store and then modify. And I think that's great. And I've seen some great Homestuck stuff come out of that. And I think it's a really good way to get people into cosplay because a lot of kids are getting into it through Homestuck and then slowly building up. And it's cool. I mean, go to the store, buy it, and then put your own touch to it.
And then, case point, the big picture is literally just a suit with a bow tie. So, like, I had that lying around. And then third Cyclops, that's like kind of a cheat. Just watch the difference between like Meryl's work and my work.
Oh.
So, like, that was a $40 Milano Sentai suit, which we tore the hell out of. The gauntlet was actually a gift for someone, so that was free, technically. The gold, the wife and I did that. And the visor, there's an online tutorial. Again, always, you know, YouTube is a great resource, aside from retarded rants and retarded anime, like for making things. There's a how to make a Cyclops visor online. And the tutorial stuff was okay. We modified it a bit. But still, that thing cost me about $50 for a lot. And I think it lights up too. So.
There are a lot of prop tutorials out there. There's the German girl, Svetlana, that does all the Warbla. All her Warbla armor. She does a lot of World of Warcraft stuff, but she has tutorials up there on how to do all her stuff. And just makes it look so easy.
There's a great girl who has a website, and you can just type in like elf armor from Lord of the Rings, and she teaches you how to make it out of that thin foam. Thor armor that I made completely out of craft foam, and it is so easy to make. It's craft foam, rub and buff, which is this metallic looking paint, and cheesecloth. I mean, it's literally fabric glue and Elmer's glue. I mean, it is incredibly easy to make, and I was baffled. I was completely surprised. And you can do a lot with that, and it looks like complete metal, and it's really light. It's lighter than any metal you can work with. I actually started working to replace the foam with actual metal, and I can't get the metal to have that two-tone look that my foam armor has. So, which is ridiculous, but it's completely true. You can get a depth with painting than you can with actual, like, with the metal.
Yeah.
And, in working with foam, you don't have to have all the special gear and the tongs and visors. It works out really well. I can talk about makeup.
Yeah, makeup.
Okay. I am, again, like, I do wigs and I do makeup. They're very close to me, if you can't tell. Makeup is one of the things that I'm really passionate about. I really believe that makeup can make or break your costume, and so can a wig. I've seen some amazing costumes out there who, if they just had added a wig, or if they had just put on a wig cap and made sure that wig is secure and not showing their own hair, would have taken their costume to, you know, light years ahead of where it was. And a lot of people just don't know, or, you know, they don't realize that it really can add that depth to it. There are a lot of websites that show you how to put on a wig cap correctly. Most of the time, I have wig caps, and you spray, you hairspray the wig cap when it's on your head, and it allows the wigs to stay on it better. To get your hair under it, a lot of the times, I have a whole ton of hair. For longer wigs, usually you can get away with just having a low bun on the back of your head, especially for girls. Like, guys, you have an easier time with wigs. Most of you don't have a lot of hair. I am actually going to be doing a cosplay of Robert Lutice from Bioshock Infinite at San Diego Comic-Con. I am going to have a haircut that is incredibly close to my head. I will be pin curling my entire head, which is tight curls all over my hair so that I can get it to be uniform so that when I put the wig on, I don't have bumps. And that's one of the things you have to do for, especially for shorter wigs. There are tutorials online that are really, really good that'll teach you how to do that. I tried making one, but it didn't work out so well. And again, makeup is really important. I know a lot of girls that don't necessarily wear a lot of makeup when they're doing costumes, or even guys sometimes need makeup. And again, makeup, you can, I mean, even the cheapest stuff like Wet n Wild, you can go to Wet n Wild, go get Wet n Wild at Walmart, and that stuff will be fine. But just adding a little bit of color, a little bit of concealer, and, you know, eyeliner and some mascara can really help. And it's not necessarily just walking around on the floor, but, you know, people are going to probably take your picture, and that flash can really wash you out, and having makeup can really help. And if you don't know how to do makeup, obviously there are lots of tutorials online for that, or just ask someone who knows. And a special shout out to Homestuckers. Seal your makeup. Anybody who has full body paint, or if you're having to plan to wear anything that's full body or on your face, they make, Ben Nye is a great company, but there are lots of other companies that make makeup sealer that'll allow it to stay on your face all day and it won't rub off on things. I have made the mistake of not sealing my makeup and ruined things that were not mine. So that's an option, and that's for basically like any grease paint. Another option, if you have it, is doing airbrush makeup, which is alcohol-based, and while that stuff will stay on no matter what, it will stay on no matter what. I did Poison Ivy because I wanted a shimmer version, and I used an airbrush machine and airbrushed my entire body. I wore that on a Saturday. I went back to work on a Friday, and I was still green in certain areas. The only thing that takes that stuff off is 90% proof alcohol.
Yeah.
It reeks. I smelled like a bar.
It's terrible on your skin.
Yeah. It is terrible on your skin. Some of it won't even come, and you can't ship it. 90% and 70% proof is not your normal, like, drinking alcohol. That stuff is highly flammable. So if you're taking it off, you have to take it off in stages. Otherwise, you become flammable. But it works really well, but it's again, there's a drawback to it too, that the alcohol, it's alcohol. I wore a costume the next day that was, I wore my Phoenix. Oh. So I was from here down, but everything else was, so my face was not green, but most of the rest of me was. If I had taken it off, I would have been Poison Ivy again.
We're talking about wigs. Where do you get your wigs from?
For wigs, like again, I said Fifi Mahoney's. Fifi Mahoney's will, and a lot of people don't know them. I'm probably the only person who ever I'm a huge fan of Fifi's. I ran into them when I was in New Orleans at a bachelorette party of all things. But I call them. They are amazing. You call them. You send them an email. You tell them what you want. You send them photos of it. They will produce it. My Poison Ivy wig, I didn't get my pictures because my computer was giving me problems yesterday, so I apologize, but my Phoenix wig is a huge, my Phoenix wig they did, which is just a simple wig like this, but it has some blonde in it that I wanted. My Poison Ivy wig is a huge bouffant, kind of, it's a very draggy queen wig filled with glitter, and it has flowers in it that are interwoven in it, and it's got some other stuff added for depth. That wig was about $90, and that was fully done. They have done my Dazzler wig, which I'm wearing tomorrow, was about $60, and they do a lot of synthetics, but their synthetic wigs are fully heat resistant, so you can use a curling iron on them, straightener on them. You can do whatever you want with them. And I use them mainly to get commissions. They are doing a lace front wig for me. When I'm doing Feely from The Hobbit in a couple months. And lace front wigs are a thing that lace front wigs are really, really good if you need your hair to look really natural. For people who don't know, they have a little bit of lace that sits on your head right about here, and you get wig glue, and it glues it to your head. And so it looks seamless, and it looks like natural hair. If I had to wear a wig with this, which is very, very difficult to do because this hairstyle is so tight on my head, it would have to be lace front. And lace front's really only needed if you're having to go with something that's very natural or very, very close cut. It's going to be very difficult to get a natural hairline otherwise. But again, like Fifi's, I use them for commissions, and they have never let me down. They do things, if you give them a deadline, they will get you a deadline. If you need just a normal wig that you can style on your own, Arta Wigs is really, really big. A lot of people use Arta Wigs. I like Arta Wigs. Yeah. Arta Wigs, their wigs are pretty cheap. They usually run about $30 to $35. They come in a bazillion different colors. They are all heat resistant up to about 350 degrees. So you can style them to your heart's content, straighten it, curl it, do whatever you want with it.
I love them. One of the other things I love about them is their wig caps. The actual wig that the actual cap the wig is on are really big. You make them pretty small, but I have a huge head, and so I can get incredible headaches from wearing wigs. And their wigs are big enough that they fit about anybody's head, which is something that is always a big concern. Sometimes it's really hard to get your hair under wigs, and they most people use them. And I think that they are pretty much a good go-to.
Well, and the nice thing is they're Chicago-based, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah. They are Chicago-based.
And they can ship, as long as they're wig in stock. I live in Washington, D.C. I usually get the wig within 2 to 3 days.
Yeah.
They're pretty fast.
Yeah. Like I said, well, they use that Cyclops wig up there. That was used for Cyclops, Squall from Final Fantasy VIII, Leon Candy Cards even before. Like, I had it for, like, 5 years, and it still looks good.
And they actually do lace fronts, too. They have about 4 different versions of lace fronts, and their lace fronts run about $70 to $80 when a... normal wig store will probably cost you about $150 to $200 for a lace front. So they're good, and they're pretty good lace fronts.
Yeah, they feel really nice too.
Yeah, their wigs are really good. They're easy to untangle. Another thing about wigs, untangling them, wigs, especially curly wigs, can get incredibly tangled pretty easily, and it's really important to keep your wig in good shape. They make special wig brushes that are really, really important to use. Don't ever use a normal brush for your wig. Sally's Beauty Supply sells wig shampoo, and use wig shampoo and wash the, you know, if you need to wash your wig, wash it. Most curly wigs, when you do wash them, the curls will fall. If your wig is not heat resistant, which some are not, and you can't use your curling iron on them, a wonderful tip is to take the little curlers that use their metal, and they have like brushes in them, and they use them to hold into your hair, and a lot of hairstylists use them. Again, you can get them at Sally's Beauty Supply for like 8 of them for about $5. You pull the brush out of them and then just pin them into the wig when they're on a wig stand, like on a wig head. You pin them into the wig, and then you just put your blow dryer on the lowest setting and then just blow on it very lightly, make sure it's not getting too hot, and then let it cool. And most wigs will take a curl to it pretty easily, just like that. And that's one good tip that I found for, because I have a couple of wigs that are very unheat resistant. Because otherwise, your wigs will melt, and it's very, very bad.
All right, all sorts of buying stuff. Like Meryl said, Under Armour now does superhero license stuff. Like I said, best way to buy stuff now is Amazon. Like I said, Hawkeye was mostly Amazon, Cyclops was all eBay. Suit was big and tall, like for like I can't remember where the hell I got that suit from. It's been a while, but yeah, Amazon's your friend. Like the only issue is like depending on what you want to get, they might ship to your state. I know with Hawkeye, I had to physically go buy that bow because they won't ship any firearms, quote unquote, to
they'll
New York.
They'll ship bats though.
What's that?
They'll ship bats for free as long as it's over $25.
Yeah, whatever, man. Other websites of use rather. Cosplay.com is a good website. It's a great forum. I mean, they have a wig section to avoid at all costs. That I know five friends who were still disputing wig orders years ago just because their toll-free number is a dead landline out in Arizona somewhere.
Really good website that a lot of people who do like big armor stuff know about, but there's a website called the RPF Forum.
The Replica Prop Forum
is amazing. These people are brilliant. Their Tron thread alone about how to make everything light up, or if you're not going to use light up, or how to just make the suits and the armor, is probably 500 pages long.
Yeah, and it's not just prop stuff. They talk about
costumes,
everything. Like there's forums where anything movie, video game related, like there's a forum about it with tons of reference photos. These people just dump as much as they can on that site.
Me and my friend would not have been able to make this if I hadn't had the RPF forum. And it's just a suit, like. And we were working on the lights, but that's Iron Man taught me that maybe I should not try to ruin things until I really understand them. But I mean, I know people there. There's a guy in a Tron suit that lights up here that learned how to do it off the RPF forum. The RPF forum is a great, great resource, and it's one of my favorite. The people are incredibly well knowledgeable, and they have no problem if you find the right thread, ask a question. And if they can't answer it, they'll direct you to the right area. They're really good about that.
Another shout out to superherocosplayforum.com.
there. Not so much. Well, they have some good costumes. Not so much tutorials, but the super friendly community. I met a bunch of guys on that website. They're really nice. They run like photoshootsy things. They run the big Marvel DC gatherings at Dragon Con. And they have those great guests. Like Stanley's a big Marvel guest for Dragon Con for the last 3 years. They brought him out there. I mean, those kind of customers. I think George Perez was a DC guest at Dragon Con. Again, super friendly community to talk to you about, you know, about anything, comics or life in general. And again, I can't stress how great they are. ACParadise.com, if you're more in the animated game scene, they're a really cool website. Plus you plug your stuff up there for free. There's a paid version of those board photos and whatnot. And they do like a lot of events at like video game cons in San Diego and whatnot. And it would be the free pass and some free swag, so you know, worth looking into.
Yeah, and like I said, in the Chicago community, Cosplay Chicago, like, we're just starting out and getting really big, but it's a really good community. Like, a lot of good stuff is happening. We do events outside of cosplay. Like, we all are very informative and very helpful and love working with new people.
And if you don't live in, I mean, just check Facebook, because most major cities and towns have cosplay group.
Half of our group is not in Chicago.
No.
So, we definitely help with a lot of people that come from outside. Yeah.
Questions? Yeah, questions.
Yep.
Do you have any tips for storing costumes, particularly like really large ones?
Let's see. I'm in the process of moving, so I have a storage locker that I put my stuff in. But also, it really depends. If you have a really large costume, and you have the money to do it, I bought one of those Rubbermaid like containers that sits out on your balcony, and I put my, you know, I had my armor in there until I got rid of it. But I mean, it's definitely a big time. And I also have my giant pyro flamethrower from TF2. That thing is huge and weighs about 50 pounds. But you have to find special ways to store it. And if there's something that's on it breakable, make sure you wrap it with bubble wrap and you. Store it properly, but really, I do the Rubbermaid thing. Really, honestly,
I know a lot of people that.
Yeah, and if it's closed, so it's going to be away from the elements.
Yeah, exactly.
It depends, really. What were you trying to store? Anything in general, or?
I was just curious. I have a large bill face costume that I'm just taking up space in my.
Yeah. I have friends who have like little condos that they have on display, and it's a nice set piece. I have like three large swords that I've done until Final Fantasy, like fighting game stuff. So I have those tucked in the closet somewhere. And like the girl said, Rubbermaid is amazing. I have all my Spanx pieces close to there, but it's, you know, safe and clean as trash.
I have an incredibly small apartment, so it's all about storage for me. So yeah, definitely like any kind of storage container, especially those Rubbermaid ones. And they said, you know, and you can store other things. And like my Iron Man was with my luggage. Or I mean, heck, if you have some pieces, put them in your luggage and then put them in your luggage when you store them, and that helps protect them as well. More delicate costumes, you would really have to consider, especially if you're working with feathers or you're working with leather, you really have to understand, like, if your apartment gets really dry or it gets really humid, you have to really take that into consideration because it can dry out really easily or it can become really brittle. I always think if you can hang your costume. Some costumes have the capability of being folded and it's not a big deal, but sometimes they'll get folded in them that won't become
removed. Because a lot of vinyls and metallic canvases stick together. And you'll pull all the metallic off.
Yeah, I have a horror story. I did Rocking the Bludget. He's a Boswell character. It's crazy. It's like a vinyl jacket with these big metal plates that we painted over. He's craft all and whatnot. And my friends are like, I'll drive you home. And it's like a 4-hour detour. You have to do a million things. And we just put my jacket properly. So I took it out. All the paint had melted onto the jacket. So it is a hot mess. I spent like $100 on that jacket alone. I cannot wear it again.
Yeah, well, even traveling with costumes, you have to be careful leaving them in trunks and cars. Heat will kill a lot
traveling,
of things.
Traveling is a whole different experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next question.
Any other questions?
We good?
Best way to travel with costumes when you're taking like 20 trains.
Ooh.
Well, that's okay.
Fly, no.
Fly, I actually think that taking a train is easier than flying with costumes. Fold them very, very carefully. And if you have things that are breakable, like props and things, fold them into, if you can carry them and have them on hand. If you can't, fold them in between things that are soft, if at all possible. Be very aware of what sheds. I have a pair of shoes that are covered in glitter today for a costume tomorrow. that are wrapped in a plastic bag because I put them on something and I got glitter everywhere. A good example is I traveled with my Thor helm here last year. I live in Washington, D.C. I had to get the Thor helm somehow to Chicago. I had to have them make a custom box for it and have it pinned to a wig head in this box and like carrying it on the plane and stuff. And we didn't know, they weren't quite sure if it was going to fit in the overhead. Well, it couldn't be in the under thing because it would get beat up. I was fully prepared to wear that helm on the plane. I was going to be Thor on the plane. Because sometimes you don't have an option. But luckily with trains, like, you have a little capability to do it. But, I mean, I had to ride the train from Otakon, which I live in D.C. Otakon's in Baltimore. It's about an hour train ride. I had to carry a long sniper rifle plus my... It was a wooden sniper rifle, and it was a long time ago. I was doing Argila from Digital Devil Saga, and my flamethrower, plus like some other wigs, all on the train, and it's all about balancing and fully knowing what you can handle. There's some things that just, you're not going to be able to get there. I have I do Vanellope von Schweetz, and her wig is incredibly heavy. It's back heavy because of her pigtail, and it's also very delicate because it's got all this crap in it that she has. I decided that I wasn't going to bring it because I could not get it here. I did not think I could get it here without it getting damaged. So sometimes you just have to realize that you can't take a certain costume to a con because you won't be able to travel with it. Again, like I said, I'm moving cross-country. I am terrified about my wigs because most of my wigs do not fold into boxes. And so I'm not quite sure how I'm getting that on the U-Haul. But again, it's you have to be very careful about how you transfer things. And just be fully aware of, you've got to really think about every worst case scenario you can have with a costume. Because it probably will happen if you don't think about it.
Oh.
Yes. That's a really good question. It depends on how big are the horns. Some people, what they'll do is they will build... This is one option. I've seen a couple things because there are a couple different things on tutorials. If your wig's big enough and you can get the hair to cover the headband, I would go with the headband just because it's easy to take off. And if you damage your horns, you can always take the headband off, redo the horns, and then you're not damaging your wig at all. Another way is to work a headband into the wig, and then making whatever, and keeping your horns off of it, and then making sure that those little points that you're going to put the horns on poke through your wig, and then put it on that way. That's a longer lasting way, and it'll look better, and it'll also sit more secure on your head. But again, it's one of those things that it's a little bit more difficult to deal with if things break. But headband, you're always going to want to secure it to something other than the wig itself because the wig is going to shift and then your horns are going to shift. So you always want to have like the headband base, but what you're going to do is either put it under or over the wig.
Any tips on dealing with like fur? Like if
you want to... Oh, yeah. I just did a giant blue fur dress.
Me too. So. One of the biggest tips when working with fur is cutting it. A lot of people don't know, just don't use scissors. Scissors will just kill the nap on the edge and you won't have fur.
Are you talking about fake fur?
That should be a question. Did you want fake fur or real fur? Okay, yeah, fake fur. Okay.
I'll talk about the other one.
Yeah, that's fine. A lot of fake furs have like a knit back or a grid that the furs are attached to. Usually a razor blade or an X-Acto knife when you cut. I usually lay my pattern pieces out, trace them, and then sit with that, because what that does is it only cuts the fabric and not the actual fibers of the fur. So then you're not getting these weird edges, and they look natural. So that's one with that. And then with sewing it, you always want to make sure your fur is like inside, if that makes sense. So when the fabric's together, you don't see the fur sticking out. So it's kind of like you tuck it all in as you pin everything. Does that kind of make sense or no? Okay. And a lot of times too, I sometimes trim down my seams a little bit because there's so much bulk there with the fur. I kind of trim down the fur a little bit in the seams just so they don't so that it sits better and lays better. I don't know if any of that was helpful. I hope so.
Try to do stripes.
Stripes.
Yeah.
Like.
Stripes.
Okay. On what?
Just on like jeans and hoodie. I'm trying to do a full like Cheshire cat.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
That is really
what
awesome.
What kind of material are you trying to use for the non-stripes? Like jersey or like, you know, like hoodie material, cotton.
Yeah.
But that's easier to work with.
Yeah, that is easier to work with. I mean, it's the same thing. You just, the same aspect, you just sew it right to it. I mean, there's really, a lot of times I would use a heavier needle when you sew with fur. I guess I don't think that would kill the stretch though, fabric. It's just because of how thick some of those furs are, you want to make sure you have a thicker needle in your sewing machine only because it's just going to break.
And know that, like, if you're building on, like, a existing hoodie or something like that, you may have to undo seams on the hoodie to get the material in there.
And re-sew them.
Yeah. I actually work with real fur. I get a lot of flack for that sometimes, but I work on Lord of the Rings costumes, and fake fur just doesn't look right to me. I like animals a lot, but, rabbit fur and coyote fur just looks a lot more natural. It looks more natural.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Pelts look really, really good. When you're working with fake fur, I mean, with real fur, you really have to think about how you're going to sweat. You always want to put a lining down under it because it was a living animal, and it can, especially if you get really sweaty with it, it can start to rot, and it smells horrible. I had a bad experience with that. But it's a little easier to cut, mainly because you can use scissors. I use X-Acto knives still, but you can find the natural wave in the fur that allows you to cut it. And I mean, because these things have a natural backing, it's a lot easier to actually use glue and fabric tack and things like that besides just sewing it. I'm having to make a big fur panel on my tunic. And I'm going to be doing a little bit of sewing and using glue because it's a little bit easier to do. But, I mean, I just back it with cheesecloth, and that's enough to work with. And it also helps hold the fabric to the fur. But it looks really good. But, of course, that's not going to – real fur is very difficult to dye. If you have to dye fur, I would go with fake fur. It's a little bit easier to dye as a synthetic because fake fur warps and it can and shrink. There's a lot of more problems you get with real fur, even if it looks... I like the way it looks for certain costumes, but fake fur is probably the way to go for most costumes.
This question I had before this weekend. My friend spent 2 days down my art this week, so she slipped it all back in the ponytail, and she did a great job, and I was like, I can't transport a wig head on a train. So I thought, stuff the head with a bunch of tissue paper, put it back. Everything came undone. Like, it was like, I was like,
that's what I look for on my face.
I was like, it's fine, and then throughout the day, like, pieces are falling out, and I happened to have done it this week. So how do you transport wigs, I'm trying to say? But it's on a train.
To be honest, I literally, the same thing, build a box.
Yeah.
You get that wig head, you pin, they make wig pins, and you wig pin that wig in, and you build a box, and I literally fill it with, you know, packing peanuts, and if you have to, like, you can secure it to the bottom of the box with, like, I've done it with screws. I feel like a little piece of, you know, heavy cardboard and, like, screw to the bottom. Or you make sure that it just can't move a lot. To be honest, that's the only way that you can transport wigs very well. They don't make good wig transporters. What a lot of people do is they take, and what you can put in the bottom of the box, which will a lot help, is take a small piece of wood, and then you put a dowel, you screw a dowel into it, and then you put the wig head on the dowel. And that'll keep it from tilting a lot, and it'll keep it stationary in the box. But again, you really have to put it in a box, especially if it's a ponytail wig. It's very difficult. Some wigs, again, can fold up pretty easily, but that wig, you would have, yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, I picked up an outbed wig.
And it's really hard. I will say that some wig commissioners, like me and like Fifi Mahoney's will do it. If your wig gets destroyed, a lot of the times for a small fee, they'll fix it for you and then send it back to you. I've had wigs fall and, you know, I couldn't fix it and send it back and they were able to fix it. but it's really hard at con. I will say, if you're working with wigs, in any wig that doesn't have anything beyond, like, you know, simple curls, invest in some heavy-duty hairspray and a wig brush and have those with you on hand at all times. And it can, sometimes you have to do emergency work, but it definitely can help out quite a bit. As Chris knows,
yeah.
I've been throwing fits all weekend.
Oh, back. Oh, it depends on. Is this Craftbone or was the other one? Oh, Wonderflex. I prefer Craftbone. I mean, I used Wonderflex before, and like if you know someone who knows their way around it, it's great. Otherwise, do your research, honestly, because like I had a build armor, and it was Zach, probably 7. And I tried using Wonderflex, and the first roll I had, I destroyed, and I got nothing out of it. And so, with a little more experience was going to come by, I had a heat gun, proper paints. Again, it depends on what you're trying to make and what you're comfortable using.
I actually like, there's a couple websites that have all different kinds of stuff. I like Craft Foam. There's Bondo. Bondo is a little harder to work with. Bondo looks really, really good if you learn how to work with it really well. And it's stuff that you build it up and then you sand it down and you build it up and you sand it down. And it can get, it looks really, really good. It's like fiberglass that they use on it to rebuild cars. Mm-hmm. Like if you get a scratch, that you put Bondo
they fill it in
with Bondo. it's great. It can look amazing. It's a little hard. It takes a while to work with. You need kind of like sometimes you can sand it by hand, but a lot of people have Dremels. My friend has a Dremel that we do Bondo work on. Wonderflex can be really finicky too. I prefer Craft Foam just for the ease of it. And the thing with Craft Foam is if you screw it up, it's pretty easy to fix and, you know, make a new one. The other ones are a little harder to work with, so that if they don't last and you need to remake one really fast, it's not as easy. But, and Bondo, which is, what's great about Bondo is that you can buy it at Home Depot. And Wonderflex is not as easy to get hold of, and it's not as cheap.
It's only available outside of the country.
Yeah, and Bondo, there are a lot of really good tutorials depending on what you need to make in Bondo. A lot of people use Bondo to make swords, or they'll make a wood base and then they'll build Bondo up on it. We were using Bondo to fix dents in my Iron Man armor that I had made when I didn't do a very good pull from my resin. But really research on Bondo, because you have to wear masks and ventilation because the stuff's pretty toxic. And that's another reason I like using Wonderfoam. Craft Foam is that it's non-toxic, it's easy to use. But I definitely prefer Bondo over Wonderflex, because it's easier to get a hold of, and I think it's a better material. I think it lasts a little longer, too.
Anything else? Oh, okay.
I have a question. How do you add paint to a costume? Like, if you're only 5 foot, you want to add another.
It really depends on what kind of shoe you're having to wear for your character. Some shoes you can build just natural lifts into the bottom of the shoes. I'm actually, one of the costumes I'm doing, I have to be at least 3 inches taller than my partner. I'm literally just building a secondary shoe bottom for the shoes I'm making, because I'm wearing like loafers, so I don't have the luxury of building like a platform for my shoe. It has to look like my shoe. For some bigger costumes, like some of the bigger superheroes and things like that, you can actually build wooden bases, and it's literally like you take a piece of, it's like making a clog almost, and you literally like you'll take 2 pieces of wood like this. And then you'll put 2 pieces of wood down here, and it makes a base for your foot. And then you can use Craft Foam to wrap around to cover it, to cover up the fact that you have the little clog. And you can glue your shoe to the bottom of that, and it'll give you the lift you need. It's a little hard to walk on, and you clop. But you can also put like a rubber bottom on that that'll keep it in. And that honestly is a simple way to make a bottom to a shoe. But it'll give you the lift you need. But again, it really depends on what kind of shoe you have and what kind of shoe you need to wear. For boots, you can just glue. I mean, I've seen people, and I've done it before, you just get really thick rubber and just glue it to the bottom of the boot. If it's like a platform boot that's flat, you can just add, you know, add height to it. It's always going to look a little strange because you're having to add it to the shoe. But it's really difficult to make lifts within shoes. So I always add it to the bottom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the wooden way is probably the best way to do it for some superheroes. It takes a little bit of time, and you have to make sure that it's going to be solid for you to walk on, that it can hold your weight. But it's a pretty solid way. You know, wood's pretty strong. As long as you put it up lengthwise, you can do a pretty good job with it, and it's pretty simple. And again, I will say that it's pretty hard sometimes when you have to work with a lot of wood. I live in a very small apartment. I have to go to my friend's house to use her anything with wood, with a saw or a bandsaw or anything like that. So just use your friends. Luckily, a lot of people live, you know, I'm moving in with my dad, and he has a nice garage, and I'm going to use his garage for stuff until I, you know, get my own place. But you've got to be able to find the area to work, and sometimes it's really hard. That's another reason I commission things, is because I just don't have the room for it.
What makeup is good for people who sweat?
Personally, there's a company called Ben Nye, and it's BENNYE. Their makeup is made for theater work, and it's also made for movies. So that stuff is industrial, and that stuff is made for people who are under heavy lights all the time. And that makeup is really good. It's a little bit expensive, but they make great quality stuff that's not going to go anywhere in your face. Another company that does a pretty good job that's more commercial, or more like base, is MAC. I use MAC a lot. MAC also originally was used a lot in movies, and they still use a lot in movies, and they use it on the red carpet, so it's for people who are under heavy lights and going to be naturally sweating from that. And those are two really good companies. MAC, again, usually is a lot more women's makeup, but Ben Nye does both men's and women's, and you can find it on any major costume site. Just type in Ben Nye, and you'll find a really good selection, and they have, like, every color you could want, and they have all different types of kind of what you need. So I really would go with Ben Nye. It's always been my go-to, even when I was doing a lot of theater work, when I did theater makeup.
Thanks. Good. Excellent. I think, well, that's pretty much it. We should plug our media stuff. If you want to find us online, I'm on Twitter. It's theanarchist.com. Put our Twitter. Same thing with Tumblr.
I'm on Exerted Designs. I also have some business cards if anyone's interested. So.
Yeah, and I have business cards too if anybody wants one. I decided to go with an incredibly long Betty Bloodshed. It's hard to find. But yeah, if anybody wants anything for anything, just let me know. Cause, I mean, honestly, like, any of us are open to questions later on if you think of anything. So.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having us.